you, but you won't come around. So come here, honey, let me show you a little something that I put down. And I hope you hear me now, cause and welcome to another episode of the Bear Report Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the Bear Report Podcast episode 86 for Thursday, November 19th, 2020. How's everybody doing today? Hope everyone is doing well in the BlackBerry world. I am here. We're here for another week. This is the second second show in a row. That's a big plus for us. We haven't done one of these in a while, but thank you guys for tuning in to this week's episode of the Bearport Podcast. I greatly appreciate it for tuning in. For those who are watching us on, we are live on YouTube via the Bearporter YouTube channel. You know, if you're not following, just subscribe below, hit like on this video too, so we can get a thumbs up. And then we're also streaming on Twitch, via my Twitch account. So if you don't know, I've been kind of venturing into the Twitch world. If you don't know what Twitch is kind of like video game streaming. So instead of like video streaming, it's video game streaming. So watch other people play video games. There's also like shows that happen on there. People just go on there and chat and talk and stuff like that. So it's a great platform and something I'm trying to venture in myself. And also trying to bring in the Bear Report so we can expose gamers to BlackBerry. So that's kind of the plus. We want to figure out how we can reach the younger generation with the new BlackBerry devices coming out in 2020. And I figured Twitch might be an actually nice little way to do that. So we're live on Twitch. We're also live on Twitter via the Bearporter Twitter account, I believe. I don't know if mine or it's Bearporter. It's one of the two. If you're not following me or Bearporter.com on Twitter, go follow us. Just search BlackBerry Brad or search at Bearporter.com. So thank you guys for tuning in. I do want to first start off by saying sorry for last week's episode. Nobody could really hear me very well. I didn't realize that until I did the edit of the show for the audio version. I realized, so this microphone was not set to default or it wasn't enabled. It was my webcam's microphone. That is why it sounds so me far away from it. So actually I'm using a new webcam from since the one I've been using for years. And when I plugged that one in, it must have defaulted to that as the audio source as well. So do apologize for last week's audio issues that you were having with me. Hopefully next time we'll get Adam on here again. We'll have another great chat. It was a really good episode last week. Definitely want to thank Adam and UTP Brad for popping in late in the show too. If you guys missed that, go check it out via your favorite podcast application via your phone, or you can also check it out on YouTube as well. So also, if you have a podcast listening application, just go ahead and hit subscribe to the Bearporter podcast. It really helps out the show. Even if you subscribe and you don't listen, the fact that we get subscriptions, it really helps us out. We're trying to get us back up into the listening ears of folks who might not know that we're still around, but we greatly appreciate it. We're trying to get this kind of rolling and going here as we get closer and closer to 2021. Again, if you're not subscribed to the bearporter.com YouTube channel, make sure you are, because I have some cool videos coming up in the next few weeks. So you want to make sure that you're watching those. So if you aren't subscribed, you won't know that they happen unless I tell you. So yeah, everybody is chatting away in the bearport.com YouTube comment section. So I can see all your comments from YouTube. I can see them all from Twitter, and I can also see them from Twitch. So if you're any of those, just say hi. This week, we really don't have any crazy topics. This week we have a couple topics, and then the rest of the show is just gonna be open to you guys asking questions. I threw up a tweet on my Twitter account and asking if anybody has any questions. We've got a couple. We also have a couple from the BBM groups that I'm in, the BBM e groups, I should say. I still call it BBM, maybe it's called better BBM Enterprise. But yeah, so we're gonna have some questions after that. Well, I'll try to answer some of those questions if I can. If I can't, then I will give you the comment of I don't know. So this week we had some cool things from BlackBerry themselves, BlackBerry Unlimited. So not the phone, not speaking of the phones, but speaking of the company BlackBerry, right? So they're still a thing. It isn't just the phones anymore. They do have a security software company that they do run, BlackBerry Unlimited. It's how we refer to them pretty much in the media world, pretty much. So they had a couple of cool things happen to them. First, their BlackBerry UEM software reached NSA approval. So if you don't know what the NSA approval is, the NSA is pretty much, NSA is the National Security Agency here in the U.S. They help the U.S. protect the U.S. from cybersecurity attacks, right? And so what they have done is they've certified BlackBerry UEM as one of their preferred software for that. So it's really big news for BlackBerry. We really kind of flew under the radar as far as news stories go, but you know, it's kind of a big knock to BlackBerry and how well their BlackBerry UEM software is doing inside the cybersecurity world. We all know how great it is, but for it to get certified by or approved by the NSA here in the US, that's a pretty big deal. And I think a lot of news agencies missed out on that news. They didn't miss out on the news from the other day, but they missed out on that news. And it was kind of a very small press release that they came out. It's so small that I could probably even read it here on the show and you guys won't get bored, but I won't do that. And I won't bore you guys with that. But BlackBerry Unified Endpoint Management System or software that they use has achieved national NSA security commercial solutions for classified programs approval. So pretty big program that they use in the NSA and pretty big story. The other big story from BlackBerry this week is Plus, which is a trucking company that is a global trucking company. Pretty much what they have done is they've chosen BlackBerry, BlackBerry QNX technology to power their global commercial, their Class A trucks, pretty much. So what they're doing is they're looking to roll out autonomous trucks in their fleet worldwide, and they have chosen BlackBerry QNX to power that, which is huge. This is such a huge story. And it was, and you know, if you were on Twitter or any type of media outlets, it's kind of a big story that came through. They're the first, Plus is the first company to automated truck company to announce that BlackBerry QNX is going to be their software choice or their technology of choice for this. So another big story, they look to be rolling out trucks beginning of 2021 in some parts of the world, and then they'll have trucks in the U.S. within the next 2 years. So, this is going to be such a big thing for BlackBerry, you know, especially coming up with it. Now we have more and more cars coming out with autonomous technology built in. We have Tesla and stuff like that. It's going to be interesting to see what type of, companies are going to choose BlackBerry QNX. You know, QNX is all over the world. I was doing some research the other night on the playbook for those who remember that device. And it's still kind of amazing what QNX is in. We don't really think of QNX as, we think of QNX as just BlackBerry 10, and we think of them as the infotainment system stuff inside your car, right? But QNX was in a whole lot more. I have to research to see what they exactly are still into this day, but they're in the thing like routers, they're in things like, medical industry. They're in so many things that it's kind of astonishing that they don't get more recognition for these things than they do. So yeah, so big news week for BlackBerry Limited. That's how we kind of refer to the BlackBerry as a company. Really big things coming for them. I'm looking to try to get some folks from BlackBerry on here just to kind of talk about the things that have been going on inside the BlackBerry company that much. So I think they kind of get left behind by a lot of our sites, such as mine. I mean, we haven't really been talking about them as much as we should be, but BlackBerry is still an important part of the BlackBerry brand. It's not just the mobile devices that we all dear love, but but the other cool thing, if you guys remember, BlackBerry purchased Cylance, the security system software company, and they're actually running a pretty good deal right now. If you are in the market for antivirus software and you want to choose a company that you should trust, BlackBerry Cylance is running a pretty good deal right now. It's about $35 for five device license so you get five device license for $35 for 1 year. Pretty good deal for software, for antivirus, if you're looking for something. So you can look that up on your PC, your Mac, your Apple device, and your Android device. So if you have a BlackBerry Key 2, BlackBerry Key 1, BlackBerry Motion, or any other Android device, you can load it up onto there and have mobile device security for your device on top of the BlackBerry security if you have a BlackBerry device. And it's really interesting to see how they're going to use Cylance in the future. They have this mobile app, right, for your device. And it'll be astonishing to me if they don't use this this application, this feature, or this software in the next BlackBerry devices. I really hope they do, because that will kind of, as it, you know, if you guys remember last week's show, I kind of talked with Adam about how my biggest, one of my biggest gripes was with TCL is they'd never kind of married the two companies together, right? Or the two brand, the brand, the BlackBerry brand together with BlackBerry Unlimited, right? So when the BlackBerry Key 2 was announced, for instance, you had TCL talking up on stage about how the BlackBerry Key 2 is a great messaging device that you can use to message with your friends on WhatsApp when you have, you know, BlackBerry. You still have BBM at the time. This is what, 2016? BBM was still, consumer side was still available to everybody. So, but they didn't mention it at all. And, you know, again, they didn't really mirror that BlackBerry Limited software that, or the BlackBerry brand together into that device. So I really hope that with Onward coming, you know, down the pipeline in 2021, that, you know, I really hope that they work with BlackBerry to bring Silence into the new BlackBerry devices, into the OS that they are coming. We know it's going to be Android, so it's going to be just an Android application, but I really hope they use it to help hunker down the software. Maybe not. Maybe something a little bit more powerful than what DTEC software was available to it. You know, DTEC was a decent little software, but it needed more, right? It was more just kind of, hey, a system that would just say, hey, something's wrong, go check it out. You know, I want a software to say, hey, something's wrong, I just fixed what was wrong. So you had this application, it was a rogue application. Do you want me to delete it? Or is this something that you know about? Or even just like delete it. Like if it's an app that I have no idea that's stealing my information, have it just completely wipe it out from my phone altogether. And just that way you get a more secure, you get both sides of the BlackBerry brand, right? You get the smartphone side, you get the phone business, and you also get the, you get the BlackBerry software, the security software person, and you get to secure the Android OS. I know a lot of people scratch their head when they hear secure Android, but it can be done. Secure Android can be done. I know a lot of people don't like Google, but you can pretty much turn off a lot of the Google services that you don't like. Google will get mad at you for doing so, but you can do it. You just have to keep ignoring their yelling at you. So yeah, so Silence, if you were looking for antivirus software for your computer, your Mac, your phone, definitely go check it out. It's a really good deal that's going on. Normally that 5-device license is about $60 a year. So it's actually getting a little discount. So you get $30 off, which is pretty good. I mean, I'm not really big on antiviruses, but if it's got the name, if BlackBerry purchased it and they're behind it, then I trust BlackBerry, you know, with their knowledge of security software and stuff like that. So yeah, those are the kind of the big things that are going on in the BlackBerry world. I did ask some questions on Twitter, and I'll let you guys, let me scroll up here and see what kind of questions we have in the comments. Thank you guys for all tuning in. It's really great to see you guys tuning in live here. And so I'm actually using some really cool software on the side. And we're going to be able to post your questions right here on the screen. So let me see if I can get this to work. Let's see if I can find a good question. So Adam is liking my Assassin's Creed flag in the back. Yeah, that's a cool little new thing that I grabbed the other day. Thank you for checking out. So Sean, I'll throw your question up there. So Sean Flaherty, he wants to know, what is the future of BlackBerry apps, Hub, etc.? A BlackBerry device without the Hub, wouldn't it be the same? So, of course, I can't really 100% commit on this, right? You know, I don't know 100% what Onward is doing, but I feel like the Hub is a safe bet to be coming to the BlackBerry devices and with Onward. Unless they completely scrap the whole concept of everything that BlackBerry has done with Android for the past 6 years, I really don't think the Hub's going anywhere. I hope they update and optimize the Hub to make it less of a battery hog. That was always the biggest complaint with BlackBerry Hub is the resources that it always required to run in the background. And it didn't really, I say that it didn't bother me when I was using my Key 2, but now that I don't use it anymore, I can definitely tell the difference between it. And I know the Key 2 is a couple of updates behind, it's a couple of OSs behind, it's also kind of not the best of performance device. I'm using a Pixel 4 XL as, you know, my other daily driver every now and then. And I can definitely tell a difference when I'm not using, but it's a completely different device. But I don't think the Hub is in danger of not coming over to the new BlackBerry devices. I think that's a sure bet to come through because it kind of speaks to the productivity mindset of BlackBerry devices. You know, if you think about and Onward is filled with a ton of people who love BlackBerry devices, right? These guys aren't just saying, what brand can we bring back to life? Oh, BlackBerry. That's a brand that has been around for a while. Let's bring it back to life. They love BlackBerry devices. Every conversation I've had with Peter and his team is they're excited for this brand. They love this brand. They are diehard BlackBerry fans. They've been in the CrackBerry forums. They've been in all the forums that were around back in the day. I don't know their usernames or anything like that, but they've been in them. So I feel like they know what they want and they know what we want as well when it comes to our next BlackBerry device. And I think the Hub kind of speaks to that old BlackBerry language. So when I say like old BlackBerry language, I'm talking like the old BBOS days, right? You had the old BBOS days with the unified messaging box, right? That had all your communications in one box, had all your email accounts, all your calls and stuff like that. That's what the Hub was, right? That had everything in there. But I still feel like the Hub was kind of underused, right? Because they started rolling out all these little features. And I don't know if these just bogged it down to the point where it was a resource hog from the beginning, but it got worse over time. And I think it's because all the things that TCL, or not TCL, but BlackBerry wanted to put into there. You know, for instance, they had to the point where other social networking platforms you had. So if you use an app like Discord, if you use an app like Google Hangouts or anything, you could put all your notifications in there. But that's really all they were. It was just a duplicated notification hub. You know, if I get a message from somebody on, Instagram, right? If someone commented me on Instagram and said, you know, hey, I like your posts, I can't do anything in the Hub with that comment. I have to click on that comment and it would take me back to Instagram. That takes me out of the Hub. That takes me out of what, you know, if I'm just scrolling through there looking for emails and someone gives me a message and I just go to check it out and see what it is, that kind of defeats the purpose of the Hub, right? The Hub or the BlackBerry message inbox on BlackBerry OS was a place to kind of, go through and triage your email accounts and triage and just go through the emails that are important and kind of push aside to the ones that aren't important. Same thing with like messages and phone calls and all that stuff. So I feel like the Hub really speaks to that, but I feel like they have to do more with the Hub if they wanted to stick around or be useful. That's what BlackBerry and TCL didn't do with the Hub. They had it there. They had a great concept with it, but they didn't make it as relevant as they could have with the things that they had on it. You know, so, you know, I think the Hub is safe. I don't know about D-Tech. I feel like D-Tech, if I look into my crystal ball, right, and I think of the way that BlackBerry Limited is going with their products, right, I don't know if D-Tech, I think we'll see something like D-Tech, but I think we're going to see something better than D-Tech. I hope we do, because like I was saying, D-Tech was more of a just, hey, you know, if you think of it like a security system for a house, right? It was pretty much just saying, hey, someone's on your front lawn. You might want to go check that out. You know, instead of it being like, hey, someone's on your front yard. You should go look and see what's going on. You know, we really recommend you doing that. That's kind of the difference between D-Tech and what D-Tech should have been. So I really hope that they take D-Tech and morph it into something with silence or something of that nature. You know, and I think if that's the case, that stick around. I think the other BlackBerry apps, I think Locker sticks around. I think that was a very loved application that a lot of people loved having on their device. So I think that sticks around. I think Password Keeper, obviously, that comes over, maybe. I know BlackBerry, so BlackBerry's big message before when they started rolling out the BlackBerry Android devices is that they didn't want to overpower BlackBerry users with applications that they could already have access to. But the thing with the BlackBerry Password Keeper is it's got the BlackBerry brand to it. So you trust that name to it where, you know, I use 1Password on my non-BlackBerry devices, but, and my BlackBerry devices for that matter. But, you know, I still store things in Password Keeper because, you know, I store the passwords to those vaults. So, but I don't know if that sticks around. I think it does. I think it's got a 50-50% chance on it. What else am I missing for the BlackBerry apps? BlackBerry Notes. BlackBerry Notes was a useless application to me, to be quite honest with you. BlackBerry Notes was great for keeping notes, but it had no other functionality to it. And I know it's a notes application, but what I mean by no other functionality to it, like, it had a synchronization option to it, but it only synchronized an Outlook account. Now, Outlook accounts are great, but not everybody owns an Outlook account, right? I'm primarily a Google account user. I use my Gmail account for everything. So I have an Outlook account, but what if I'm the one person that has no Outlook account, right? I can't sync my passwords or my notes to something else. So having them on board only, it's kind of a, especially when we're such a cloud-based, you know, society nowadays with everything stored in the cloud, which can be a bad thing. But if it's stored somewhere where BlackBerry will give you access to and you only to, then, you know, I feel like, so if the notes app is going to do more than what it used to, then yeah, that sticks around. But keep in mind, there's a ton of other note applications. Like, you can download OneNote and it's a great application. You can download Evernote, which I don't use anymore, but people still love it to this day. So, I mean, I think the main core applications from BlackBerry, from the BlackBerry suite that we'll see come over to the new BlackBerry device, is BlackBerry Hub, BlackBerry Locker, and BlackBerry Password Keeper. I think the rest of them, and Privacy Shade. I think Privacy Shade comes over as well. I think Privacy Shade was a very good application. And, you know, again, technically these apps you can download to this day. So even if they don't bring them in, unless they kill the applications, you can still download them onto your device. So, yeah, those are the applications that I think are going to come over. The rest of them probably won't come over. If they do, then great. If not, then, you know, I'm not really concerned with it. Let's see what else we got. As far as bring on the questions in here so I can ask them or answer them here as much as I can. Let me roll over to Twitter real quick because there are two. So Herb kind of asked a similar question to what Sean did. Let me move Sean this question here. Herb on Twitter. He asked, what BlackBerry 10 applications would I like to be ported over to the new BlackBerry device? And he kind of said Storyteller and Bedside Mode. So those are the two applications I can think of, right? One, Storyteller was a great application on BlackBerry 10, on your, you know, whatever BlackBerry 10 device you used at the time. I didn't take too much advantage of it, but the times that I did use it, I loved it. It was such a fantastic application to use. Does anybody else miss Storyteller in the chat? Let me know. So I can kind of put your reactions up here. The other point he made was Bedside Mode. So Bedside Mode is my favorite BlackBerry feature of all time. Well, maybe not all time, but one of my favorite features of all time. It was such a great, great feature inside BlackBerry OS and BlackBerry 10. When it wasn't in Android, and I understand why it wasn't Android, but I was kind of very upset, kind of let down because, for those who don't know what Bedside Mode was. So Bedside Mode was a feature that when you can set it up, you could put your phone into Bedside Mode, kind of like Do Not Disturb Mode or Sleep Mode for some of the devices. But, I use it all the time. So you can enable it to trigger on and turn on, and whenever you plug the device in. So what Bedside Mode would do, it would silence your notifications. It would, you could also have it turn off your radio. So your mobile network, your Bluetooth, your Wi-Fi connection, if you wanted to. And it would also dim your screen and just put like a little clock dim to it. Such a great little feature inside BlackBerry OS and BlackBerry 10 that when I went from a BlackBerry 10 device to an Android device, I was highly missing it. So those are probably the two features I can think of from BlackBerry 10 that I want to bring over to the new BlackBerry devices with Onward. Peek would be a feature that I would like to bring in, but it wasn't really an application. Neither was Bedside Mode. That was more of a software feature, but we'll consider an application for this matter. And Don Williams on Twitter wants to know, any chance of a new BlackBerry 10 or BlackBerry device in 2021? Yes, there's lots of good chances, 100% chance, unless something crazy goes bad. So we'll say 90% chance of that. Proud says, let's throw. So we have a question here in the chat. So it says, hey, Brad, I know Franklin says the new phone is going to be flagship. Does that mean flagship price for about $700 US, or could it be cheaper? I mean, again, I'm fine with a $700 price tag if it's got the right specs in it. I don't think we're going to see flagships. I think we're going to see around $500 to $600 for this device. I think $700 is likely, but not highly likely for this. So, you know, again, I feel like they know what they want to do with this device. I know they know what they need to do with this device for it to be successful, right? They need to make sure this device comes out swinging to compete with the big boys, right? But when I say big boys, I mean the iPhones, the Samsung devices, the Huawei's of the world, the Google Pixels of the world, right? And, you know, if they can probably take, I don't think they're going to take an Apple approach with this. So they're not going to come out swinging with a $900 device or $1,000 device. I don't think we're going to see that at all. I don't think this device sees anywhere above $700 US. I feel like if they might actually take, I would love to see them kind of take the Pixel approach that Google took this year with the Pixel 5. So for years, Google has been pushing out these flagship Pixel devices, and they haven't been selling very well. Now, part of that is kind of the issues that the Pixel devices have had. Part of that's because of the specs weren't the greatest at that price point, but they were still decent enough. Or they had things like poor battery life and a great processor, or, you know, and stuff like that. So but this year with the Pixel 5, they kind of took a different approach. It came out with a slightly dimmed down processor. I forget what chip's in there, but and they put a big battery in it, and they put Android OS on it, and they put a good camera on it. You know, so I think that was a good approach by them, because that brought that device down to about $600. You know, and I mean, I have a Pixel 4 XL. I'm not going to go to the 5, but you know, if I was in the market for a phone, I would probably choose a Pixel 5 over an iPhone. Right. Because, you know, I use my Pixel camera. It's a fantastic camera, and all the reviews I've seen against it. So if BlackBerry kind of comes out swinging at that price point that the Pixel 5 is at right now, I think that's a good price point. I think anything above 700 is bad, right? Unless it's got, I don't even care what specs it. I mean, no, it could have the greatest specs in the world. I mean, at $700, you better have a really good, or anything above $700 with the great specs, you better have a really good marketing strategy. And they do. I know their marketing team, but I don't think they're going to do it that way. I don't think we're going to see anything above definitely won't see anything above 900. You definitely probably won't see anything above $700. So I think we're going to see anywhere between $500 to $699. As far as price tags goes. And I think it's still going to have flagship specs in it. I don't think you're going to see top of line specs in it. When I say flagship, but I say it's going to have a good processor. That's going to be battery efficient, because you need a battery. You need a decent processor, but you don't need the best battery. You don't need the best processor. If you want a good battery life, you can have a great processor in there and great battery life at the same time without it being the best processor. We've seen that with the Key 2. We've seen that with the Motion as well. And again, part of the processing on the device is the software. So they need to make sure the software is optimized for the device. But I think we're going to see a great camera on this device. I will probably see something like we're seeing today with, you know, dual lenses. Probably kind of the same, you know, approach that the Key 2 took with the dual lens. I don't know if they'll go 3 or 4 lenses. I don't really think they will, because they also have kind of to appeal to that prosumer person, right? They're not just trying to appease the consumers or the young generation, which is fine. That they should. They definitely should. Not saying they shouldn't do this, but you know, when you think of BlackBerry device, you think of business. You think of somebody who needs a device, you know, for, you know, work a lot and, you know, work in not much personal life, which again, it's not a great approach for Onward to take, but that's what you think of a BlackBerry device when you think of one, or that's what I think of, right? And they don't need to fall into that approach, right? They need to make sure that they bring out a device that's great for people who are in the enterprise or the business world, but they also need to make sure that it's a device that the consumers are going to want to go buy it. So then that, again, they're going to have flagship specs in it. Again, not top of line specs in it, but flagship specs, you know, or decent flagship specs. And I feel like, yeah, Clark's saying that, you know, it's going to have the Qualcomm Snapdragon 765G. I think somewhere in that realm, you'll see that be a processor in there. I don't think we'll see anything lower than the 3,800 milliamp battery in it. I know every conversation I've had with Peter behind closed doors is he wants a good battery in his device. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, when you think BlackBerry, you think battery devices or battery life, right? Keyboards, but battery life is one of the big things with BlackBerry devices. It's always been in every BlackBerry device that I've owned has had decent to great battery life in it and nothing less. So, yeah, so I think we won't see anything higher than $700 for a price. I think we'll see something right around that, if not lower than that price tag with that. So, great question. I'm really excited for what Onward has in store for this device. I think, who was it, James? You asked me earlier in BBM what my form factor of choice was. Right. So if you kind of catch to the show last week, Adam and I were kind of discussing this and throwing this back and forth last week, and probably due to my audio, you couldn't really hear me very well. But you know, so Adam had this idea of bringing back the tool belt. I think someone mentioned this in the chat too, that the tool belt might be a little concept to bring back. So if you remember, like the classic and the bold devices, you know, they had the tool belt, right? When we say tool belt, we mean like the menu keys, the call button, the trackpad and such. Same thing on the old bold 9900. Excuse me. And, you know, I kind of agreed with him on that, but I kind of don't agree with him. I think it's still kind of a weird look for a BlackBerry device in 2020 or 2021 for that matter. Again, 2020, if it's coming out, I'd be fine because 2020 is a year, weird year, but 2021, hopefully everything kind of gets back to normal. But I don't know if the tool belt would be a great idea. You know, I think that I like the concept of it because, again, as I've stated before in the past, that one of my favorite features of the Key 2 or the any keyboard device besides the LE is the touch sensitive trackpad underneath the keyboard. So, you know, I think it was a great concept with it, but my always complaint with the device with the touch sensitivity underneath the keyboard is, you know, I love the fact that I could scroll through my emails, for instance, with my keyboard, with my finger right on the keyboard, right? But if I had to select something, I still had to go touch the screen, right? So I would love for them to put like a trackpad in here or even in the space bar, which I again, the space bar is probably going to be where they put the touch sensor or fingerprint sensor. So probably not going to be there. But if they do something there or they put the fingerprint reader on the back, great idea. I'll take the royalties tomorrow there onward. But if they do something where they put like the trackpad in there, I can no longer have a reason to touch the screen. Again, these devices are going to have touchscreens to them because it's 2020, it's 2021, and we're going to have devices that we want to consume things on, like media and games and such like that. But again, this is, you know, a device that is used for those who aren't always thinking about, oh, let me go watch Netflix on my phone in 10 minutes. They're thinking about, oh, I have to go reply to that person's email before I forget about it. And, you know, or I have to triage thousands of emails that I've missed because I've been stuck in meetings all day or something of that nature. So the tool belt, I'm kind of love or hate concept of that. It all depends on where they put the tool belt or how they put it or implant it. Because one of the big things that people hated on the BlackBerry devices, and let me see if I can get this to populate on camera, but, you know, is you technically had a tool belt beside minus the trackpad, right? You had the menu keys, you had the back button, you had the home button. So that was technically a tool belt right there, and everyone hated this on here. They hated the fact that these buttons weren't mappable, or they weren't removable, or they weren't software-based, that you could just remove them. So, you know, a lot of people hated that they were there. So we already had a tool belt, and people didn't like that. It's not the same tool belt that you had on the, you know, on the BlackBerry OS or BlackBerry 10 devices, like the classic, but you know, it was technically some kind of a tool belt or iteration of the tool belt. So I don't know. And yeah, James, you know, kind of says that, you know, best way to answer calls, phone calls and hang up is on the tool belt. Yeah, it was great having the end call button and the call button right here, right? That was a great feature to have on these devices. But, you know, I don't know. I like the idea. I just don't know how they implement it to make it look sexy. Well, for that matter, I don't know. I would love to have it back, but I mean, we can't just, if they start just dumping every BlackBerry 10 or BlackBerry OS feature onto the BlackBerry Android device, that's kind of crazy, but you know, and I kind of sparked a conversation about the fingerprint sensor. Yeah. I mean, if you're someone who sends and receives calls every day, having that button right then and there is a great, you know, it's a great spot. Don't get me wrong. I love having it there. I do miss it. You know, I do use the power button as my end call button on my T2. That's what I use the end calls. So you can map that to do that, as well. So, but yeah, you know, if you're someone who constantly takes phone calls, that button placement for the phone calls is always a great, you know, a great spot for it, you know, and to bring it up, you know, if you wanted to bring up, make a phone call, it was always a fantastic, you know, spot to put up that call button, you know, the dial away with whatever number you're trying to do. So, yeah, I definitely see the reason for having it there. I agree that it should be there, but I don't know how they put it there. You know, we'll have to figure out when, you know, we'll figure out once they do release this device. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they implement these some of these features that we want. And, you know, yeah, it's, you know, if your finger is always going to be at that bottom. So, you know, again, when you're typing on the key too, right? See if I can get this, you know, sorry for those who are listening to this on the audio version, but you know, if you're using a key too or a BlackBerry device, you know, a proper way, right? If you're using with two hands, your hands are always going to be here, or even if you're using with one hand, right? So having that call button right then and there, right? It's the perfect spot for a tool belt, right? But again, one of the big things that we're probably going to see them struggle with is the screen size, right? How do we make that screen size to a point where, one, it's great for doing all the things that you're going to need as a business prospect or a communication device, but two, it's also going to entice those who want to use this device as a consumer device, right? Again, one of the biggest things that BlackBerry has failed to do and TCL failed to do is they failed to, you know, they'll release this device. Honor will release this device, and everybody in this chat, everybody watching the show, will probably go out and buy one, right? But there's only a few million BlackBerry users that will go out and buy this. Not enough for them to keep this kind of wheel going. What they need to do is they need to entice the user who are using, you know, other Android devices such as the Pixels. They need to entice people who are using, you know, Samsung devices, right? They need to entice users who are using Apple devices, right? They need to make sure that, hey, when they go look for a new phone, they say, oh, the BlackBerry device has this nice looking screen that I can watch videos on, and it's a great device that I can use to communicate because it has a physical keyboard to it. That's the things that TCL and BlackBerry Limited failed to do with both attempts at BlackBerry Android. They made a great device for us lovers of BlackBerry that we bought right away, right? But it's not going to be, you know, they need to cater this device to other, you know, customers too, right? They need to make sure that the moms and dads who used to use BlackBerry devices back in the day say, "Ooh, that's a nice looking BlackBerry device. Let me go check that out and let me give my money to it." And they also need to entice the younger generation that have never used a BlackBerry device. Hey, what's that device? That's got a really nice screen to it. And it's great for me to communicate with my friends on Twitch or Discord or something like that with that great looking keyboard to it. You know, excuse me. They need to entice these users that they haven't attracted in years or lost the attraction to years ago to come back to these devices. And I don't know, does a tool belt get you that? It gets us business using us users of BlackBerry Love, you know, BlackBerry lovers of the past to come back and use this device. I have no problem with it. But as soon as you start taking away, you know, again, it's not going to be this device, but as soon as you start taking away this screen, from people, that becomes less of an attractive device to a consumer. So that's why you can't really go to a device screen size like this, unless you don't want to sell to those users, then this is the perfect device to launch. They should launch this tomorrow. But again, we've heard from time to time that Onward does not want to just settle on the BlackBerry users. They want to come swinging for the users who, for the marketplace. They want to come swinging for the iPhone lovers. They want to come swinging for the other device lovers. And, you know, I feel very confident in the fact that they see that. They have their eyes set on the top, right? BlackBerry used to be the top of the food chain in the mobile world, and Onward sees that, and they know that, and they feel that they can conquer that. I think they can conquer that, but, you know, from everything I've talked to them about and every discussion I've had with Peter and his team, I feel pretty confident about that. I don't know. Don't get me wrong, I was kind of confident with TCL, but, you know, TCL had a lot of question marks to it where, you know, they had the Alcatel brand that, what are they going to do with that? You know, so they had a lot of question marks in TCL side. Where Onward Mobility, this is their only brand that they have, right? They're not selling other brands out there. They're not releasing other devices with other names on them. They're going to come out with a BlackBerry device, and that's it. That's what they're going to come out with. And they're trying to create a BlackBerry ecosystem. You know, with this one device, this device is the start of the ecosystem that they have in mind that's going to add the BlackBerry brand to it. So, oh, Joshua says, here you are on the aspect ratio, but they can still extend the screen and keep the ratio more in line with our devices. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they can't do it. I think the trouble is going to be, or the issue is them trying to figure out how to do it. And hopefully they figured this out by now, because, you know, if they're getting ready to launch this device in 2021, the device is probably ready to go, or they're in prototype mode at least, or they're in, you know, very late stage development, because they have to start manufacturing these devices if they plan on, unless they plan to release, they'll launch it in or announce it in 2021 and launch it in 2022, but they've said release in 2021. So, but yeah, you know, the aspect ratio is going to be an issue for them. Depending on what they want to cram into that screen, it's going to be an issue for them. If they want to cram in the tool belt, by all means, bring me the tool belt. I would love the tool belt. Don't get me wrong. This is not me saying I do not want the tool belt. I just don't want the tool belt to interfere with them being able to attract other people because of the screen ratio size or issue. Sorry, guys. Talking about myself gets to my voice. What else questions, you guys? I think I mentioned someone, Clark said about carriers. That's the other big thing that, you know, they need to really focus on the carrier side. And I agree. You know, and I know Clark is a big fan of OnePlus. And it's kind of interesting to see what OnePlus is doing right now, because I feel like OnePlus is shooting themselves in the foot lately with the couple of devices they've launched. But if you look at what OnePlus did at the beginning, they were online only. So you went to OnePlus.com, you reserved your device, and you got a device, right? I don't think that process will work with BlackBerry. If they were just launching a motion device or a touchscreen device, that would be fine, perfectly fine. But they're not. They're releasing a keyboard. And a keyboard device is something you need to kind of test out before you buy it, right? At least to me, I don't know. I mean, I might be crazy, but I am crazy. But but a keyboard device is something you kind of have to feel. You have to figure out, hey, do I like the spacing of the keys? Do I like the clickiness of the keys? Do I like the way that the keyboard feels in my hand when I'm typing out an email for 3 hours? You know, I feel like an online only approach doesn't work with a keyboard device. BlackBerry never did it. Yeah, no, every keyboard device that they've sold has always been in store. There's never been a keyboard device that they've sold online only. They did the D-Tech series was online only, but those are touchscreen devices. So I feel like a keyboard you definitely need in store. And they're going to need carrier support here in the US and in Canada and Europe and everywhere else they're planning on launching this. So that means they're going to need, and again, they lose one carrier, right? They lose Sprint, because if you don't know, Sprint merged with T-Mobile recently. And Sprint used to be a big BlackBerry fan, a BlackBerry carrier. They were very big in the beginning of BlackBerry. They launched the Q10 with BlackBerry 10 when that came out. And then they kind of staggered along and took forever to launch Key One and never launched another Blackblade device. But they lose a carrier in the U.S., so they no longer have a fourth carrier. They have three carriers now, AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, or the new T-Mobile, as they're going to call it. But I think if it's going to be an enterprise device, they're going to need Verizon's support, and they're also going to need AT&T and T-Mobile, of course, to be successful. Now, the nice thing about Onward is they have a pretty good team that has come from other manufacturers, and even carriers for that matter, who have pretty good relations with the carriers in the U.S. and in Canada for that matter, and around the world probably. So I don't think carriers are an issue if, as long as they spend it the right way and they kind of, again, if it's a device that looks enticing for consumers, the carriers are going to jump on top of it, especially with it being a 5G device, right? We kind of haven't really mentioned 5G. Because to me, 5G isn't a big selling point. 5G to me is great if you want it, but I don't really need it. I don't really have a crazy affection for it. I don't really have a crazy desire for it. Sure, if I get it and it's useful to me, sure, why not? But I'm perfectly fine with 4G LTE, especially in 2020 where I'm working from home most of the day. I don't really care about my connectivity. I get good Wi-Fi connection in my house, right? That's really all I care for. But you know, I think 5G, the fact that it is a 5G device and it's just another 5G, the 5G network is a big thing for the carriers right now, right? Eventually, it's going to become a cash cow for the carriers for a bit until they stop charging for 5G services. But eventually, when they start charging for 5G services, they, you know, and even if they don't charge you for 5G services, the fact that they say, oh, 5G is faster networks. You tell someone they can download something faster, they're going to love that idea. Right, the average consumer is going to love the fact that they can get something quicker because the average consumer wants everything right now. They're in the micro. We're in the microwave generation. I always say this to people, and you know, I feel like people want this application to download right now. They want this video to download right now. If they have to wait a couple seconds, that's even longer time for them to wait. So, the 5G concept is more just a way to get the consumers to buy the device because they feel, ooh, 5G faster, right? But it doesn't really, you know, doesn't really do anything else for the device other than just makes it a bit more enticing for the carriers to sell it to you, right? I don't think the 5G aspect will help. It might help boost sales for this device, but it's going to help the carriers want to push the device for that matter. So, the carriers haven't charged yet, but there's rumors somewhere that says that they might charge for it, but I don't know who, again, it's a rumor. Can't believe them all. But even if they don't charge you extra for 5G, the fact that you can get a new 5G, like Apple just did it, right? Apple just came out with a new 5G device. 5G isn't rolled out everywhere, but people are buying up because one, it's a new iPhone, and two, it's got the letter, has a symbol of 5G next to it. You know, you can have someone who buys this device thinking, oh, I'm going to get 5G. When they get home, they're like, oh, I don't have 5G at my house. I still have 4G LTE. What's going on? So again, 5G is more of a carrier concept or more of a carrier selling point at this matter because people are just buying it because it's new technology. So I think, again, the carriers, you know, ooh, another 5G device. This is a BlackBerry device with 5G to it. Let's sell it. So I don't think the carriers are going to shy away too much from it. Again, with the fact that they have a really good partnership with Onward and the folks that are in Onward, so these carriers should play well with Onward in rolling out this device. So I don't really feel like that's going to be an issue in the U.S. or in Canada. The issue is going to come to how the carriers implement the device into their sales world, right? So if, you know, we saw this with the Key 2s, with the Key 1, with the Classic, with the Passport, you know, if you go into an Apple store, or if you go into an AT&T store or a Verizon store or a T-Mobile store, there's a big Apple stand, right? There's a big Apple display with all the iPhones. If you went to the store when the BlackBerry device is around, you know, the BlackBerry device is in this little corner of the world of the store. So if Onward can say, hey, we'll give you X amount of dollars to make a big display for our device, that attracts more users. So it's stuff like that they have to look for and try to do and make sure that it gets implemented to make this device successful in the carriers. So that's what I think the carriers support. I think this carrier support will be there. I don't think we have to really worry about that with Onward, from everything that I've been kind of reading up on them and their team pretty much over Onward. I saw a comment mentioned here about the slider. Where was it? James, is that you? Don't tell me I'm drinking on jab. Do we feel the keyboard will always be there or a slider? So I kind of ponder around this because Peter, in our interview the other week, he brought up the Priv as one of his favorite devices of all time that I asked him. And which is kind of an interesting thing about that is one, don't tell anybody, but he never said that before. He's never said that in any other interview. He's never mentioned the Priv before. And the Priv is like right behind me. So this right here. But he's never mentioned the device before, which is, I don't know if he just forgot or suddenly fell in love with the Priv because he picked up a Priv and said, oh, I really like this device. But he's always said the 9900 or the Classic, or no, the Password and the 9900. So I don't know where that thought process came. The fact that he said he loves the Priv, because again, either unless he's been like a closet Priv lover for the past few, 6 months, or he picked up a Priv recently and loved it because they were just testing out old BlackBerry devices and they're like, oh, let's see what these devices had to offer. Or number three, he has a device in the works that's got Priv like form factor. Those are my three, guesses. I don't think the first guess is bad, is correct. I don't think he just randomly forgot that he loved the Priv. You either love the device or you don't love the device, and you remember that. If you don't remember loving the Priv, you remember loving the Priv. So, and then option two would be that he recently picked up a Priv and started loving the Priv, which is a good option. That's a good, reason. They might have been going around testing old BlackBerry devices and figure out which ones worked great and which one they loved to test out the keyboard, right? Good concept to it, but I don't know. I feel like the Priv is the form factor is the way that they might go with this. Again, because it kills that, it brings back that kind of the screen ratio thing that we were talking about, right? So my big thing was earlier was that the screen ratio has to be attractive to not just you and I, but has to be attractive to those who want to do media on their device and email and communications and stuff like that. And I think the only way to obtain that screen size might be the Priv form factor. Now, everybody that I talked to about this device, and if you missed the show last week, I pulled this device out of my drawer not too long ago, and I really, really wanted to put my SIM card in it to use for my daily driver. But I powered it on, tried to fire it up. It still works, still turns on. And as I'm going through setup on it, or not setup, but just kind of reconfiguring like my email account since I change my password all the time, just reconfiguring, downloading new applications and stuff like that, I came to realize that this device I just can't use as a daily driver because it's not up to date. If it wasn't up to date and had really good specs and everything like that, I could overlook that. But it's not up to date. The camera stinks on it. Not a big form factor for me, but cameras is not the greatest on it. Battery life was horrible on this device. I remember like this device had to be charged twice a day. It's probably the worst BlackBerry battery experience that I've ever had on it. And what else did I hate about? Oh, you could fry an egg on the back of it, right? I could take, my breakfast in the morning on the way to work and just plug this thing into a charger and it would fire up the egg, right? But the one thing I loved about the Priv is the slide out keyboard, right? And James, I'm going to take your comment down so people can see this better. And take away this banner. Everyone knows what episode we're on. All right. So the Priv slide out keyboard, and for those who are listening to this, I really apologize, but you should check us out live too. The keyboard is a great concept because you could slide it away. And you have the full screen available to you. And, the one other great thing about the Priv, it's still a beautiful display. I don't know if you guys have ever pulled out your Priv and I still have the demo video for the Priv that I stored away in my Google Drive years ago. And I fired this up on this device, and it's still a gorgeous looking video. Like, such a stunning looking. And this, actually, I've kept this device in pretty good condition for what it was. There's really not many scratches. The screen actually held up pretty well. The screens on my Q2 and my Q1 didn't. Well, my Q1 screen fell out a long time ago, but you know, it's still fun. And it's still, I still have a screen in there, but my first Q1 fell out. But yeah, the screen on this device is beautiful, and the keyboard, the fact that it slid out, was such a great concept and one of my favorite concept with the Priv. And again, as we talked about earlier, the screen ratio concept, where if you put too much onto that keyboard, or if you put too much into that keyboard area, like we were talking about with, you know, when we talk about with the tool belt, if you say it's the key to screen's form factor, right? And you put a tool belt here, right? That goes from here to here. You'll lose that much screen, right? And everyone's, one of the big complaints of the Key 2, not that it had many complaints, but one of the complaints with the Key 2 is the screen ratio, aspect ratio. You know, if you watched a YouTube video on it, for instance, or a Netflix video, or anything other than that, you would have this weird boxing effect, right? If you put up a video in there, you would just have like a black box around the video. Not the greatest experience for it, or for someone who's watching a video. Again, if you're not someone who's consuming media on the go all the time, it was fine. You kind of dealt with it. You kind of lived with it. But, you know, when I traveled with this on the go and I traveled with another device, guess what device I was pulling out to watch a video on? Not this device. It was another device. And with this, though, with this form factor, even if you put the tool belt, say you put the tool belt here, right? Little cutout here, or even if you put like the tool belt, you drop down the keyboard a little bit more to make room for the tool belt and you keep it there, you could still have all this screen real estate to do. Now, again, I think someone mentioned this, a wider keyboard would be nice, a little bit better. So something more like the Q2, actually the Q2 is actually a little bit thinner, but you know, maybe raise up the key. I didn't really hate the keyboard on this device. A lot of people hate the keyboard on the Priv, but the Priv keyboard wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but was it horrible? Wasn't as bad as people say it was. I feel like it gets a lot of hate, but I feel like this keyboard was actually a pretty decent keyboard. I would definitely prefer the Key 2 keys than the Priv keys on it, but you know, I think a slider form factor would be the form factor that would solve a lot of issues for Onward mobility with a BlackBerry device. And I feel like, again, if you took away issues that I listed in a couple of minutes ago, you know, bad battery life, bad camera, OS not being up to date, and the processor being crap, you fix them and put completely different things in it, this would have been a hot-selling device, right? This was a $700 device, right? I think I said $800 last show. Someone corrected me, said it was $700 or $799 or $750 or something like that. Still, $750, $800, still too high of a device pricing for this form factor, or for this device. So if you took that form factor, gutted it, put a better battery life in it, put Android 11 on it, put all the BlackBerry features that we love to it, a slightly updated keyboard, a better speaker to it, and a better processor to it, that device sounds pretty good to me. And you put the tool belt in, sounds like a good device to me. I don't know. You know, I feel like the Priv is a nice little form factor they could take care of a lot of the issues that they might come up with. Again, I don't know. Peter kind of mentioned the Priv the other week on our podcast, and every interview I've ever seen him do, he's never mentioned the Priv before. So, so Clark is saying the reason Onward Mobility will go with a slider is because they know a virtual keyboard device alone won't make it. Well, again, you can't, it's kind of, you know, twofold on that, right? A virtual keyboard device won't make it, even if you put the BlackBerry logo on it, right? This device never sold. It was marketed poorly, but the Motion never sold, right? Because when you think BlackBerry, you don't think touchscreen, you think keyboard. Again, though, you can't just release a Key 2 or a keyboard device and not market it and not have good specs in it. This had decent specs in it, but not great specs in it. So it's the same thing. The you can't just focus on the fact that it has a keyboard and say, here's a keyboard phone, go buy it. You have to have to curate your device to each crowd that you're trying to sell it to. And from everything I've spoken to with Peter and onward, they want to sell this to as many people as they can. So they have to do this a completely different route as what BlackBerry Limited and TCL did. And they can't just focus on the fact that it has a great keyboard. They have to focus on it being a media device as well. They have to make sure that it can entice those who are used to their fancy 5G iPhones and their fancy 5G Android devices that let them watch YouTube videos and Netflix and stuff like that on the go, that they can do that on their BlackBerry device as well, but also have a physical keyboard. Because that physical keyboard makes it different from everything else. It makes it a BlackBerry. This, just having a touchscreen to it, doesn't make it a BlackBerry. You know, the security side makes it a BlackBerry, of course, but the physical keyboard would make it more of a BlackBerry than the security software does. Still, again, this is a great device. Don't get me wrong. I love the Motion. I've always said the Motion is a great device and was poorly marketed, like with every other BlackBerry device for that matter. But, you know, the Motion didn't sell because it doesn't have a physical keyboard to it. And it's got the word BlackBerry on it, which makes people scratch their heads. If you go through, I've said this a million times and I'll say it again. If you go throughout the history of BlackBerry, right, from BlackBerry devices from day one, and you look at all the physical touchscreen devices that they've sold, each one of them sold poorly. If you go to the Storm, sold poorly. Crappy device. Again, Storm 2, slightly better device, sold poorly. BlackBerry Torch, sold poorly. Because they focused it on it having a touchscreen. Now, the Torch was kind of an interesting one because it had the physical keyboard, but they didn't market it like that. They marketed it more as a touchscreen device than anything. So they also had the Torch, the second generation Torch, didn't sell well. They also had the third generation Torch. They called it the Storm 3, or it was key named Storm 3. Torch 9860, something like that nature. That didn't sell well. And then you go to the T-Tech series, right? Didn't sell well. Neither one of those devices. Of course, that was kind of just a dry run with TCL, right? And then you look at the Motion. Motion didn't sell well. The Evolve didn't sell well. Evolve X didn't sell well. Again, they were region Pacific, but they didn't sell well. The BBRR didn't sell well. They were all touchscreen devices. So then, you can throw a BlackBerry logo on it and call it a BlackBerry device, but if it doesn't have a physical keyboard, it's not going to be as enticing to BlackBerry users as it could be. Again, I know there's tons of BlackBerry users out there who love the physical or the touchscreen. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't buy a device because it doesn't have a keyboard to it, but you know what makes it a BlackBerry device is a keyboard and security and great battery life and all the productivity stuff that you have. So, you know, again, that's where I think the Priv comes into play, because you get the best of both worlds. You get the physical keyboard for those who love the keyboard. You get the touchscreen for those who don't need a keyboard or only use a keyboard here and there. And, you know, well, Clark is different. Clark buys every device out there. He buys OnePlus's, Huawei's. He buys, you know, iPhones, Samsung devices. He's a different breed. He's like me with BlackBerry devices. But, yeah, I think the Priv's form factor solves a lot of the issues that they have in their way as far as releasing a BlackBerry, because again, it helps them, you know, take down a good chunk of the marketplace that they're looking for. I saw a question earlier that I thought was enticing. This is interesting. So what does BlackBerry do with their unsold inventory? Why not sell Key2 LEs at discount? I think they are still on sale. Not by TCL, but or do they blow through those inventories? I forget what was the company called that they were selling them through? I forget. They had a company that was selling the remaining Key2 and Key2 LE inventory. It's past August, so they can't sell them anymore. But they were selling them previously. But yeah, they can't sell them anymore because the agreement's over. They're not licensed to sell them by BlackBerry anymore. The only thing that TCL is licensed to do anymore is to support the devices that are currently out there right now. But they were selling, again, I forget the name of the site that was selling them. Yeah, well, Amazon has some, but they're not officially sold by TCL. They're sold by vendors on Amazon. I don't think they're TCL. They're actually TCL. Or they could be claiming to be TCL, but they're not really TCL. But or BlackBerry doesn't know about it, and they just haven't cared about it. But again, you can't buy a BlackBerry device. You can't buy their remaining inventory if they had any. I don't know if they had any. I think they stopped making them to the point where when they knew that they were idea of them not bringing them back out or not releasing any more devices, I feel like they probably stopped making them so they wouldn't have excessive amounts of inventory on hand for that reason. But yeah, so yeah, that's why you can't buy them, because they probably haven't, they don't have any more, or if they do have any more, they just can't sell them anymore because of the fact that they are no longer licensed by BlackBerry to sell BlackBerry devices or BlackBerry branded devices. So the Boone says, what we'll never see is a decently priced Red Key 2 ever since Best Buy sold out of them last year. Yeah, the Key 2 Red Edition was a pretty hard device to get a hold of if you were looking for one. I will hide my Key 2 Red over here for you not to see that. But that was a very hard device to come across. A very good device to come across if you did come across it. But very hard device to come across. That is a mouthful. But yeah, Key 2, unfortunately, the Key 2 Red was a weird phone, not a weird phone, but just was it, I don't know why they released it like that, because there was no rhyme and reason. I mean, they just put the frame into red, the red paint, and they said, oh, this looks good, let's sell it. Well, okay, I kind of know why they did it, because the LE, the Key 2 LE came out in the atomic red, and everyone loved that color. I still have not found an atomic red LE that I want to buy, or feel like buying. But that was a really good color, good looking device that they did. So they realized that people like that red color in their BlackBerry devices. So they decided to put on the Key 2. They had a ton of Key 2s laying around that they had. I think they were ready to release a Key 2 in the same specs that the red came in. And they just figured, let's just do it in a different color compared to what we have out there now. So I think that's why they released it, but it was still kind of a weird launch that they didn't. No one really, I don't want to say people didn't ask for it, because people were always asking for that red colored device. They've been asking for red device, BlackBerry devices, since the Torch came out in red. Shout out if you remember the Torch coming out in red. That's how the crazy things that I think of when BlackBerry devices, can't remember simple things in my life, but, you know, but yeah, the Key 2 Red was a nice little device. The Key 2 Red, the ones that released in 2019 got the revised space bars. Yeah, I wish I got that, because my space bar and my red Key 2 is not the greatest right now. I have to go buy one on eBay and replace it, which I don't feel like doing anymore. So, white Key 2 would have been nice. There was renders of BlackBerry did have a white Priv in the works, but they scrapped the idea, which I thought would have been a great idea. There's pictures floating around out there somewhere about a white Priv, and it never came out. So, but yeah, the red devices look nice. I know Anil posted about the red Passport. I was never a fan of the Passport in red, to be quite honest with you. So Adam tweet that I posted up there. John, the Torch did come out red. It was a nice little red too. So Adam in the Twitter world, he says, is it possible to have a BlackBerry make a stance and de-Google themselves and still have an app ecosystem? I don't think so. I don't think you can have a de-Googleized BlackBerry device and have an app ecosystem at the same time. They've tried that already. I know there is ways of siloing other OSs so you can like Sailfish and stuff like that. But being able to just silo an OS kind of raised a security flag to me. So I know BlackBerry wouldn't do that because they want to lock the bootloader. So that idea is out the picture because they would want to lock the bootloader. So that kind of kills that idea. So if you want to de-Googleize the device, you're talking about like a BlackBerry 10 device again. And, you know, we all know what happened with BlackBerry 10 and apps. And So when you think of like an app developer, right? And here's like an idea of why BlackBerry 10 didn't really work really well or didn't take off very well in an application world, right? When you think of an application developer, they have to develop their application for the apps, for the OSs that are out there, right? So if they have four different OSs, so if you remember back in the day when there was BlackBerry 10, there was Windows Mobile, Windows 10, Android, and iOS, right? There's four different OSs out there that they had to make their device for. So that's four different code or development teams that they need to hire. So they can have one for BlackBerry 10, so they can have one for Windows Mobile, so they can have one for Android and one for iOS. And they have to find a bunch of people to be able to code for that, for those platforms, which probably not hard to do, but they have to pay these people. And they also have to make sure that these applications get pushed out all the time. So if you're an application developer, which ones are you going to focus your time more on? The ones that are more popular, like Android and iOS, or the ones that are not so popular, but they still have users that are begging for applications? You know, it wasn't BlackBerry that didn't want to put applications on BlackBerry 10. It was the developers that didn't want to put the applications on BlackBerry 10. BlackBerry would have loved to have Netflix and Twitter and, or they had Twitter, Facebook, or, you know, whatever was out there at the time on BlackBerry 10. They literally, so if you remember back in the BlackBerry 10 days, very early BlackBerry 10, they had their development team offered Netflix $1 million to be able to get the code for Netflix. And they were going to send a development team from BlackBerry to Netflix to develop the application for BlackBerry 10 for them if they just agreed to put the application in BlackBerry World. Netflix turned down $1 million. They didn't have to do any work whatsoever to keep that, get that application going. They probably would have had to keep do some work to upkeep the application, right? But Netflix said no. They didn't want to do it. So, I mean, again, you can't force these applications, you know, developers to make these applications or develop these applications for platforms that aren't really as popular. Now, again, if BlackBerry 10 had taken off and become more popular than Android and iOS, we'd probably be seeing more BlackBerry 10 devices to this day. But it didn't. And again, the app ecosystem was part of the reason why, was a main part of the reason why. But it also was just things that have already happened to BlackBerry or that BlackBerry did in the past that they just couldn't steer away from or pull themselves away from that way. You know, yeah, you know, if unless you sell a million devices, millions of devices, not just a million devices, you can sell a million BlackBerry devices. They'd sold a million BlackBerry 10 devices. You need to sell like millions of BlackBerry devices with like four S's on the end of that millions to get BlackBerry, to get developers an idea or desire to want to develop for your platform. And they just couldn't do that with BlackBerry 10. And that's why BlackBerry 10 failed, or one of the reasons why it failed. But, you know, I don't think you can de-Googleize a BlackBerry device these days and try that again, because you're going to run into that same reason. Unless it's like the best BlackBerry device in the world, right? If you took a BlackBerry device and spec'd it out and removed all the Google stuff to it and put BlackBerry 10 on it, or BlackBerry 11, whatever you want to call it to this day, maybe you sell it. But again, you're going to have consumers come into this device and be looking for an application OS or application ecosystem and not find it and be like, where's my Facebook? Where's my Twitter? Where's my, you know, Instagram? Where's my TikTok? Where's any of these applications that I use? Where's all my banking applications? Where's my ADP application so I can pay my employees? Right? You're going to have all these people coming to this device, even if you spec'd it out to the greatest specs in the world. It would operate 10 times better than any iPhone or Android device ever did. And it was de-Googleized. But, you know, they're not going to buy it because, or they will buy it and they'll be like, I can't use this device because it doesn't have the apps that I need to go about my days. So, you know, again, it's so funny. It's so interesting to me, the people that say, oh, I still use my BlackBerry 10 device, but I don't use any applications on it. I don't need the apps on it. So that's why I still use it. Okay. I can see that to a point, but how do you check your bank account? I guess you go on the website. I don't know. I don't know. It's just makes me, you know, scratch my head and just be like, how do you do things? Again, I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure you do it by all means. If that's how you roll, that's how you do it. But, you know, I guess I'm so just used to I'm just so used to using my device for everything that I needed to use it for that I don't know how I could, if you guys remember, where is my device? So if you guys remember this device, this is the Punkit device that BlackBerry OS is running on. I put a SIM card into this device trying to use it for a couple of days. I couldn't do it because it didn't have any apps on it that I'm used to. Again, I probably could have survived past those few days, but that I just, again, there's a lot of apps that I use that, again, for, I'm kind of a different breed as well, because I use things like the YouTube studio for YouTube stuff, for podcast editing, for stuff like that. So I use my device for everything that I do here, for Bear Porter, for work, for everything like that nature. So a device without applications, I don't know how I'm going. BlackBerry devices did have banking and NFC. They did have banking apps, but if you look at any newer banking applications, they're not there. So I saw a good question from Paige Telegram. What's going on, Zoe? Let's see, what else we got? So Paige Telegram is saying he's interested in BB's new Onward phone. He hopes it brings back the folks that thought BlackBerry didn't make phones anymore after BBOS devices ceased. The BIS crowd went iPhones. So when he says BIS crowd, that means more like enterprise crowd, or actually more consumer crowd with email on their device. But yeah, hopefully they bring back these users who fled from BlackBerry devices. He also has a nice little question here. Good job. I'm wondering if something like a subscription service will help keep BlackBerry afloat and allow us to keep our devices longer. Has BlackBerry considered a subscription with carriers for full functions of BB phones? So I'm assuming, they still do have a subscription service, but it's not for the phones. They probably won't do a subscription service for the phones. I don't know if you mean like paying monthly for your BlackBerry device. Carriers do that already, so you can technically go do that if you wanted to. But they do have subscription services for the software on the phones. So if you want to use BlackBerry Hub Suite on your Android device, that's not a BlackBerry device, you can pay them a subscription to make it ad free on your device. The ads aren't really too bad, so if you don't, but you can pay them, I think it's 99 cents a month to get that ad free experience. You can also pay for BlackBerry Enterprise, which is a subscription service. But I don't think those subscription service fees will help them keep BlackBerry devices around. You need device sales. You need big chunks of money coming in, and you don't have that with those subscription services like that. I don't think that will work for it. If maybe like a subscription service for like, I can't think of a subscription service that would fit for them, because they're technically already doing it for the hub, right? If you want to add free hub experience, you could do that. You could pay for that already. BBME, it's kind of hard sell nowadays to get people onto BBME because there is a subscription service to use BlackBerry Enterprise. I noticed that too. And a lot of fewer people don't want to pay for that subscription service. I mean, to me, it's what, $5 a year that you need to pay for. But, some people, they don't want to pay that. They want to go use, they want to go use WhatsApp. They want to go use other like Telegram, stuff like that are free, which is understandable. It's a free service. They should. I really, to this day, wish that they kept BBM Enterprise around, but or not BBM, BBM Consumer around for free. But that was a weird situation too. Zoe wants to know, my question is, what is a BlackBerry device moving forward with the new release in 2021? No more BBM, and it's hard to get people on BBME. That's a good question. I kind of see where you're coming from with that idea, but BBM wasn't the only reason why you bought a BlackBerry device. BBM was a big selling point for buying a BlackBerry device. When you bought, these devices, the BBOS devices, that was a good time frame a good reason to buy those devices because you could only use BBM with other BlackBerry devices. You couldn't use it with anybody else. When they opened up to cross-platform to go to iOS and Android, the idea of buying a BlackBerry device for BBM didn't really make sense anymore. There was other reasons why you bought the BlackBerry device, because of the keyboard, the security, the battery life, the BlackBerry application, such as the hub and stuff like that. But when you bought like a Key 2, you bought a Priv even, or, you know, even if you bought like, I don't want to say like a BlackBerry 10 device, I mean, because later in BlackBerry 10 life, they did have, they opened up the BBM to cross-platform. So eventually towards that time frame, you didn't really buy, I don't want to say you didn't buy a BlackBerry device for BBM, because you still had a pretty decent BBM experience on BlackBerry 10 devices compared to iOS and Android. But I think the reason to buy it for BBM quickly dwindled after that. You know, and then once we got into the BlackBerry Android world, the reason for buying a BlackBerry device for just for BBM wasn't really a thing anymore, because you can get, you know, a Neo, you haven't had a BlackBerry device since the Motion, right? You haven't really had a, she's gone pretty much all iPhone, and she's been using BBM and BBME for ever since then too. You know, again, I get it. BBM was a great reason to have a BlackBerry device. And again, it's, everyone knows I miss BBM. BBM was such a great messaging platform that I so wish that BlackBerry had grabbed it back from BBM tech. And I still don't know why they can't just make up their own. I wonder if they're just waiting for BBM tech's, contract date to end, and then they resurrect it. But again, even if they resurrect BBM, who jumps back onto it? We do, right? But I don't know who else jumps back onto it. They have to have a really enticing reason to get it. So, you know, so I mean, I get it. You know, again, I don't think people were buying BlackBerry devices for BBM. They haven't bought a BlackBerry device for BBM since BlackBerry 10, or since before the cross-platform switch was lit. So, you know, why do people buy a BlackBerry device these days? They buy it because of the keyboard. They buy it because they want a device that lets them get shit done. Excuse my French. But, you know, it's, you know, I think somewhere in one of the BBM group, BBME groups that it was in this week, they're posting around the tool, not a toy marketing campaign that BlackBerry did years ago. And it still kind of resonates to what the BlackBerry devices are still to this day, right? When I pick up a BlackBerry device, it's because I want to get shit done. It's because I want to get my emails complete. I want to be productive, you know? And that's what a BlackBerry device is. Yeah. And that's why people buy BlackBerry devices this day. And, you know, hopefully Onward can get more people to want to buy a BlackBerry device because more reasons than that. Because again, security should be a big thing on people's minds. And security is very low on people's minds when it comes to buying a device. And hopefully Onward and BlackBerry Limited can help push that, hey, you should be paying attention to what's going on your device. They need to do that. They need to make sure that people are aware of this stuff going on. They tried to. BlackBerry tried to a while back when the Key 1 launched. They had a commercial that was popping around YouTube. They were just pretty much going around asking people questions, being like, hey, do you know what's going on your device? You know, what if I told you there are certain applications that are on there that say they're a game, but they're really just taking pictures of you while you're playing your game? And these people were just astonished by what they're telling them. And something like that, they should have done a long time ago and said, hey, what's going on your device? Make sure you're, you know, if you're not using a BlackBerry device, you know, this is what you might not know about. So again, you know, Onward's job now is to entice people to move to these devices for other reasons than the keyboard, right? The keyboard's still going to be there. And the productivity stuff is still going to be there. But why else? And that's the question Onward has to help answer. And hopefully they do. You know, and, you know, again, James kind of made the point of BBME is, you know, as much as I miss BBM, BBME is a pretty decent application. It kind of goes back to what James is saying. You know, BBME goes back to the old school BBM, what it used to be before all the fluff, before the BBM channels. As much as I love BBM channels, I don't miss them right now. I mean, I do miss them, but you know, they're not there, so they're not there. You know, they got rid of all the stickers that were crowding, you know, and stuff. They got rid of some of the stuff that was just fluff in a messaging platform. Again, don't get me wrong. If that stuff was there, I would use it, but I don't miss it. And Zoe says there's less people on BBME because of shady people that are ruining the groups. Just my opinion. Could be wrong, but my observation is that I've not been active, but have kept my subscription. Yeah, you know what? I think, you know, I haven't run into any shady people on BBM, but I know that it's out there. Yeah, you're definitely in the wrong group. Come check out our groups and stuff like that. But, you know, you would think that the subscription would shy away the people who are shady because they don't want to pay for the subscription to be shady. Usually that's how it works. But yeah, you know, I think you're just in the wrong BBM groups. Just come check out a different BBM group. They're out there. You just have to search for them, you know, and check it out. So Paige wants to know, would bring in BBME to, I'll throw you up your question, would bring in BBME to the Linux platform, drawing interest from the Linux crowd into BBM phones? Again, I don't know if BBME is the reason why you buy a BlackBerry device. So even if you put it into the Linux crowd, I don't know the Linux crowd cares. Oh, great. BBME. I can go use it. Okay. Does that make you want to go buy a BlackBerry device though? Kind of goes back to what Zoe, what we were talking about with Zoe's question. You haven't bought a BlackBerry device because of BBM since 2013 when BlackBerry 10 launched. That was the last kind of iteration of BlackBerry devices that you bought because of BBM. And that was short-lived too, because BBM went cross-platform shortly after. So I don't know. I think getting it to the Linux platform is a great idea, but I don't, for BBME, I don't think it's a great idea for buying or getting people to buy new phones. If it does, great. But I don't know. Does it make you, like, if you've never used a BlackBerry device and you stumble upon BBME inside the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, and you start using it, you start loving it, does that make you want to go buy a BlackBerry device? I don't know. I mean, again, if there was BlackBerry devices to buy, would that make you want to go? Even if there isn't one, you can still go buy them on but yeah, I know. I don't think that's how you get people to buy or BlackBerry devices. I don't know. So yeah, thank you guys for joining. That's about an hour and 30 minutes for a podcast. This actually went pretty well. Thank you guys for joining the show. I'm going to end the show here. Just kind of end it on a good note. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you, again, if you are not subscribed to this channel, hit the subscribe button down below. Make sure you hit subscribe and also just hit the notifications button. That notification button, what that does is it notifies you every time I go live with BayReporter.com. So even if I do like a random chat like we're doing right now, this is a random, this is a show, but if I decide to do a random chat, it lets you know. If I post up a new video, which there are new videos in the work, it's coming soon, hint, hint. So yeah, just make sure you subscribe, follow me on Twitter. You can find me at Twitter on BlackBerry Brad, which is right here, my name, on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram too, if you want. If you follow me on Instagram, it's just going to be all BlackBerry pictures, and Badoo game pictures. But, and then yeah, follow me on Twitter, on Twitch. Again, we're streaming live on Twitch, so thank you guys for tuning in on Twitch. I really appreciate it. If you want to come find me on Twitch, you can find me again over here, BlackBerry Brad, on Twitch, twitch.tv/BlackBerryBrad. So stay tuned for that. And then, yeah, everybody have a great night. Have a good week. We probably will not be streaming next week. It is Thanksgiving here in the U.S., so most likely won't be doing a Bear Report podcast next week, so we'll probably take the week off. Maybe we'll do a Black Friday special. I don't know. But I will be live on Twitch next week. So if you want to chat with, again, if you guys don't want to come chat, if you don't have any interest in video games on Twitch, I'm still talking BlackBerry devices. If you want to talk to me about BlackBerry devices on Twitch, I will by all means talk about that stuff when I play. But yeah, come check me out. Hopefully everybody has a good week. Everyone stay safe. Hunker down. Stay 6 feet apart, wear your masks, all that fun stuff. That's it. BlackBerry Brad. Out. After all the things that we've been through, these words are all I need.